Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of this program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Dr. Ray Pritchard, and Steve Jordahl is in now.
Good morning.
Steve, how are you, sir?
I'm well. I am
By the
well.
Way, I did get to, in this ongoing, Ray, you been keeping up with our Mockingbird saga going on here?
No.
You know, we haven't talked about when you've been on the air?
No, I haven't heard about it. What is it?
All right, we give a more detailed report as things develop. but for a year now, on and off, there's been a mockingbird outside our offices here, and it from time to time will swoop down and buzz you, not physically hit you in the head or attack you, but go right by your ear, and we think that it's protecting a bird's nest. Obviously, a mockingbird is a bird. A bird's nest somewhere, and we haven't found it yet.
I think it's in that, you know, the big bush that's, if you walk in front of the wing, like the radio cave,
yeah.
If you walk outside, you turn around to go right by into where Durek has his office. And everybody, look at your radio, you'll...
Yeah, I think probably 100% of the people know what you're talking about.
Well, there's a big bush right out that corner there.
Yeah.
And every time I go by, I hear a bird inside squawking at me.
You mean, Steve, you're an investigative reporter.
I know.
You haven't stuck your head inside the bush yet?
I have not.
I'll film that. After the show the other day, I took my phone out and filmed Fred, because we had talked about it, but Fred went unattacked.
Bummer.
Well, I thought the bird was gone. You know, it doesn't do it for 2 or 3 days. And we did have one of our staff before yesterday morning's devotion, which we start the day with devotion, that came into the building that literally, it was a man. He started screaming.
Yeah.
Screaming at the mockingbird?
Yes, yes.
Oh, no, I mean, screaming from fear, like
from
a little
fear.
Girl scream.
No, not at the mockingbird, just in sheer terror.
Because the mockingbird had dive-bombed
attacked
him.
Was attacking.
Well, it's kind of terrifying. You're walking in the door and all.
Yeah, just a regular day, and all of a sudden.
Remember the movie The Birds, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I don't know. We're one day that bird will meet his end, but for now he, remains at large.
Steve, this just feels to me like a major report.
I think. Steve, would you next week, if you have time, I would like you to file a report.
I think
this story needs to be told our
if
listeners.
If you stick your head in that bush, let's get some video.
I'll have something for you.
I'll come out there and video you.
Okay.
You stick your head in that bush.
Anything could happen.
Yikes.
Yeah, white privilege won't matter then, Steve.
No, not at all.
You got that right.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. What's on your agenda there, mister?
Today's opening day of the baseball season, and my Oakland A's are in first place.
There you go.
Is today opening day?
It is, I believe. Okay. And I'm very excited about this season for the A's. They have a pitcher that throws both right-handed and left-handed.
Hmm.
And
really?
According, yes.
What's his name?
His name is Vendite.
Is he American?
Pat Vendite, yeah.
Really? Vendite.
Apparently, yeah. He throws right-handed. Here's a picture of him throwing right-handed and left-handed.
Equally as well.
Wow.
And, of course, according to the headline there, he can also, maybe throw underwater. I'm not sure. The headline
What?
The headline calls him an amphibious. The headline says he's an amphibious pitcher. They got the word wrong in the headline.
They were looking at what? Ambidextrous.
Ambidextrous, and they published amphibious. Oh, well.
Okay.
That is embarrassing right there. Whoever wrote that headline.
Unless he really can pitch underwater.
I don't know.
Then we would have a story.
He can pitch on land or in the water. That's what that means.
That's
amphibious.
Right.
So they meant to say what?
Ambidextrous.
Yes, ambidextrous.
And yeah, they say that in the article. The headline is...
I got to see this guy. Does he change? You know, in order to do this, you would have to change out gloves.
He has a glove that fits on either hand. Now, you could probably look it up. YouTube will have a picture.
A glove.
By the rules, he could pitch to the same batter, one pitch left-handed, one pitch right-handed, if he wanted to, right?
I don't know that there's a rule. I don't know that they've ever come across this.
You can switch.
Of course, he's going to throw to left-handed to lefties and right-handed to righties or the opposite.
Is this a major league first?
Yeah,
I don't ever remember. I saw a fellow one time who was a baseball pitcher. I think he did make the major leagues. He didn't have a hand.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Remember that guy?
Yeah, I do.
On one of his hands, one of his arms, he didn't have a hand.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. The one he did not pitch with.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Wow, okay. So
we got the first amphibious pitcher.
The first amphibious pitcher in the
not amphibious, Ray.
I'm just going with the headline.
I know. You think that headline writer did that on purpose, or you think
I don't know. I saw a tweet this morning and it went, editor. Are you sure that's the right word?
That's right.
Maybe reporter. Not. Well, I'm about 80% sure. Editor, print it.
There you go.
Oh, me. I remember I wrote headlines. Well, I was a sports journalist when I was at Mississippi State for our campus paper, and then I wrote some for a couple of newspapers as well. But I got to write headlines.
Yeah.
And I wasn't the first one to ever use this headline, but I was pretty proud of it.
Yeah.
It said, dogs... That's Mississippi State. Dogs hit road, road hits back.
Oh.
Yeah. Pretty clever. Don't you think it's pretty clever?
That's very clever.
Yeah. You can only use it once. But
that's right.
And a lot of people stole it from me on other campus newspapers. I remember
Must have happened.
Dogs hit back. Dogs hit road, road, road hits back.
That's yeah. right.
All right, Steve, turning our attention to other news stories.
I'm a big fan of blogger named Matt Walsh.
Uh-huh.
Matt had a column out yesterday. He's got another one out today that's also very good and frankly disturbing about predators in our school system. But this one is titled, Dear Gender Nonconforming Person, I Won't Let You Impose Your Confusion on My Child. In it, he tells the story about when his wife and his little daughter were in a grocery store and they saw a transgender man in a dress. And the little girl points and says loudly, Mommy, isn't that a boy? The mom replies quickly, Yes, that's a boy, but we don't point. So Matt was considering the response and what had happened and referred to a column that he had read from a gender nonconforming person where this person named Tobias says that he's giving permission to parents to use him. He says, it's okay if your kids point and talk if you use it as a teaching moment. And you're supposed to say things like, yes, Johnny, sometimes boys do wear lipstick, and that's perfectly okay. Why, yes, Sarah, she is wearing a bow tie. Girls and boys both wear bow ties. Would you like one? And so he says, I will give you full permission to use me as a teaching opportunity. Well, Matt didn't like this person giving him a permission to talk to his kids. And he writes, to Jacob, Tobias, and other gender-confused crusaders on the left, I say this. I don't owe you anything. I owe my child something. I owe her a proper moral and intellectual formation. I will not let you interfere with that process. I will not let you tell me how to raise my child. You don't get to govern my reaction to your outlandish pageantry. You don't get to control what I say about you or even what I say to you. You have the freedom to be gender nonconforming, but you can't force me to treat it like it's normal or healthy. I will not normalize your behavior to my kids. They naturally think it's silly. I will foster and nurture that reaction. I cannot stop you from putting on this sad charade. You cannot stop me from telling my children the truth about it.
Bravo.
What is gender nonconforming?
It's a rather large term that talks about everybody that is anything other than normal, male and female.
Yeah.
So if you are, I imagine it applies to if you consider yourself gay or if you consider yourself a transgender person.
Yeah, I guess I'm just trying to think through that. And to me, you're either one or the other. Well, we know that biologically, but even if you don't, you know, subscribe to the stereotype, then so let's say you're a male, but you don't want to act like.
Hey, Walker, let me just interrupt you here, son. This is a dead end road, but you can go ahead.
Well, I'm not going to go ahead if it's a dead end road.
He does put quotes around, scare quotes around it.
I don't need to run out of gas.
A dead end road isn't the right way to say it. And excuse me for interrupting you. I'm just saying that you can't rationalize the irrational. No. I understand.
Yeah, and that's what I was trying to get to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think Matt Walsh, the main point here, Steve, is how we respond. Because he says, you know, you've got the right to dress the way you want. Okay, this is America.
Right.
But he's saying, and God bless him, I am not going to let you dictate how I react or how I explain this to my children.
Right.
That's a really big point.
And the Bible gives parents not only the right, he commands. They have the responsibility for them to raise their children in the way that they should go, as the Bible says. Right, Ray?
Well, that's what it means to be a parent. Someday, Steve, those of us who are parents, we're going to answer to God for what we did to raise our children, to use the old term, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And to tie in with Matt Walsh, that's not just telling them what's right. It means in many occasions, we're going to have to tell them what's wrong, even when, and especially when that flies in the face of what the culture is telling them all the time. We're living in a day when it's not enough to simply say this is right. Isn't it true? We've got to tell our children this is right and that's wrong, and here's why, and here's what it means.
Well, also, you're scolded by the public, by the popular culture today and the elites in our country, you know, entertainment, news media. You're scolded and shamed if you try, Walker, to say what the obvious, like you just talked about a few minutes ago.
Yeah, we've always historically been swimming upstream against the culture, but it seems in America, the current is becoming faster and stronger. But we, like Ray said and Steve, we have to continue teaching not only what's right, but also highlighting what's wrong to our kids.
In the article that he references, Tobiah, this gender nonconforming person, so-called, complains that children often stare and point at him and the parents fail to use it as a teaching moment. So he says, you can do better than that. You have to do better than that. You owe it to me, is what Tobiah says, that the parents owe it to him to use as their kids as a teaching moment.
Well, Steve, you know, he's half right on this. We do. He's right. We ought to use it as a teaching moment. I don't know that we owe him anything, but we owe it to our children to say, all right, there's a man. He's dressing like a woman. There's something wrong here, and I want you to know why it's wrong. We ought to use that teaching moment.
Yeah. And, you know, we do, and we you know, make jokes about this some, and at some level it does deserve to be mocked and joked about. On a deeper level, I do feel sorry for these people who are confused because they're genuinely troubled. And there's something causing them to act this way, which is unnatural. They may think it's natural, but it's not natural.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got to be tormenting to them, you know, inside their minds and their hearts, Ray, don't you think?
Well, this fellow, what was his name? Tobias?
Last name is Tobias.
Matt Walsh was talking about.
He's obviously tormented. Otherwise, why would he even care about what people say?
Tobiah, I'm sorry.
That's a good point, Ray. Why do they even care what people say about them if they're not tormented?
I've often said one of the reasons I think that the gay activists and others in this whole
LGBTQ
community, and all the alphabet soup, reason that they yell so loudly at us is because everything else that we see through logic, through biology, through human nature, through history, all points to the fact that something's not right here. It's not normal. So they have to yell all the louder, it's normal, it's normal, it's normal. Because everything else is against them.
Let me just, we, course, have been labeled a hate group here at American Family Association by the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yes, we have.
In Montgomery. Which, by the way, they're doing very well. I think they got tens of millions of dollars at the Southern Poverty Law Center. So
much of it in offshore accounts.
Yeah, so they're not in poverty, despite their name. But I digress. They use this quote against me as a reason why AFA is a hate group. I said that homosexuality is immoral, is unnatural, and is unhealthy. That's a quote from me that I used, that I wrote about in years past when talking about this issue. I didn't say I hate homosexuals. I didn't say anything like that. I said the truth, which was it's unnatural. Okay, we all know that, right? It's unnatural. Right. It's unnatural for a man to have sex with another man. That is an unnatural act. It's immoral. That is scriptural.
Yep.
Okay, so it's sin. And it's immoral, unnatural, and it's unhealthy. And you can look up the statistics from the Centers for Disease Control. What these people do to one another, as Romans 1 spells out in the Bible, is confirmed by the health statistics by our government. You can't do the kinds of things these people do to one another and not pay the consequences medically for your actions. So, but that, I'm just giving you an example of that. You mentioned you can't talk about these issues. That quote right there from me, which is considered hate speech. Mm-hmm. So you can't even speak the truth about these issues, but you have to, sort of toe the PC line, Ray. Yeah.
Well, we're living in such confused times. It's a strange commentary, Tim, when what you said, the quote you gave, roughly speaking, has been the position, say, of Christians for 2,000 years, right?
Right.
Now, admittedly, okay, things have changed in some denominations, but still, this is the overwhelming view that it is unnatural, it's wrong, it's immoral.
Unhealthy.
Unhealthy. It's a strange thing when you can say what has been accepted wisdom for all this time and now be labeled as a hate group. I think at some point, we finally say it doesn't matter.
Right.
We're going to have to say what the truth
is. That's true. And that's our position here at AFA and AFR, and I've written about this before. The word hate is misused and abused in the media. Mm. It's lost its real meaning in many respects because groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center define what I said as hate, as a hateful, motivated by hate. I'm not motivated by hate. And that speech is not hateful. I'm just telling the truth as the Bible. And, you know, we're all sinners. You know, a person who practices homosexuality is sinning against God. A person who commits adultery is sinning against God. According to Jesus, if I have lust in my heart, I'm sinning against God. So we're all sinners, right?
But we're all in the same boat.
But we don't call sin a good thing.
Right.
You know, we don't do that. We call it for what it is, and we call ourselves and everyone else to repentance from that, turn to God for forgiveness, and we can all be right with the Lord. And he can, and we have evidence over and over and over and over again, that he can change people's desires and change their lives and change their lifestyles. So nothing is impossible with the power of God in your life.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. By the way, did you guys see, I just saw this, where a gentleman passed away in Navarre Beach, Florida yesterday.
Oh, the Air Force guy?
Did you see that? He's in the Air Force.
Story, yeah.
He's a hero. He's in the Air Force. And he went out to save two young, was it young girls?
Girls, I think, that were struggling in the surf.
Did you see that?
I saw it. I didn't.
Stories of heroism just amaze me.
But
it was, I don't know if he was stationed there on the Gulf Coast.
You can read it on Fox News. It's at the, when this program is over.
It was Santa Rosa County, Florida, which is down around, you know, Navarre Beach, Fort Walton Beach area, but evidently he went out there to try to save these two young girls. He got caught in a, what do you call that, a riptide?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, boy, and he drowned. You know, those riptides, can they, can they just take you under as well as taking you out?
Yeah, they do. It's a very dangerous thing.
Have you
thing.
Ever been there?
I have. I've done a lot of swimming in the ocean. And what you learn is that when you are if you find yourself, usually it's that you're struggling and further being pulled further and further out, and your first instinct is to swim toward shore. But what you should do is you should swim parallel to the shore and get out of the current before you turn up and go back into shore.
I bet these young girls didn't have a clue.
No, most people don't. I mean, I grew up on the beach, so that was something that was drilled into me.
Hey, it's happened to our family. We were on vacation, Walker, weren't we, in Cancun?
Yeah, we were in Cancun, Mexico. And
5 years ago or so?
Yeah, went out in the water and the waves, having fun. And before you know it, 10 minutes later, 20 minutes later, we look up and we're 200 yards from shore. And, of course, it's not like Florida where
we had floats.
So yeah, we a couple floats.
We weren't going to drown. And it wasn't something that was taking you under, sucking you under, but it was taking us it was taking our whole family out to sea.
Yeah.
And we couldn't get back. We had to have
And it wasn't like Florida or somewhere where there's hundreds of people on the beach and everybody sees you need help and they have emergency crews there within a minute. This was nobody on the beach but one lifeguard.
Mm.
Right. And he ended up calling
help. He called for help, and he did swim out to help us get back to shore. And we did do what you're talking about. Did know enough to start swimming parallel and trying to edge back in. But man, those things can happen.
And it's odd because unless you know your beach, and if you're on vacation, you obviously wouldn't. It's not obvious where these currents are. Some people can look at a beach and they can watch the waves and the way the water acts as it interacts with the shore and figure it out. Mm. But most people, they don't see it. It's just
And the lifeguards do post the flags. Mm-hmm. Most areas where I don't know what the flag levels are. I think purples don't go out or something like that.
Right.
But it's a gentleman who went out, an Air Force vet, and went out to help these two young ladies. And I think they lived, didn't they?
I think they did.
They survived, but he sadly passed away. When people do heroic acts like that, he said he didn't even think about it. He just immediately went to help these two young girls. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Let me remind you as we close out the program today, tomorrow we normally have Trivia Friday. We love doing Trivia Friday, but our offices are closed here tomorrow in honor of Good Friday and Easter weekend, so our staff is off tomorrow. So we're going to be back with Trivia Friday a week from tomorrow, but we will have an excellent special during this hour. Not during this hour, from the 10:05 to 11 o'clock Central Time tomorrow from the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir.
So phenomenal group.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
You don't want to miss that. And then, Ray, again, you're going to be doing some teaching from 11:05 to 11:30.
Right, recorded a special program on the words of Jesus, It Is Finished. Program is called Paid in Full. Tune in, folks. It's going to encourage you about what it means that Jesus died for us. He paid the price in full.
So Ray's day job is teaching the Word of God, the Bible, and he joins us as co-host of this program, but Ray travels the world teaching the scriptures, and you will hear his Bible teaching tomorrow about Easter from 11:05 to 11:30. You're really going to enjoy that. Well, as I mentioned, our studios and offices are closed tomorrow. We will be back here Monday. We certainly hope you have a wonderful Easter weekend and Resurrection Sunday, and celebrate our risen Savior. And we shall see you back here Monday, Lord willing. And what else, Steve?
Tide don't rise. Lord willing and the tide don't rise. Isn't that the phrase?
I think it's creek.
Creek don't rise.
Creek. That's right. We're talking about the beach.
Yeah. Or the tide.
The tide. Whatever.
Either one. Happy Easter, everybody.
Absolutely. See you Monday, everybody.